Today's show is brought to you by
HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/50Glory and use code 50Glory for 50% off and free shipping. And by
AdamandEve.com. Go to AdamandEve.com right now and you'll get 50% off just about any item. All you have to do is enter the code word GLORY, G-L-O-R-Y, at checkout.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond. This is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is Thursday, August the 24th.
Yeah.
And today is a great day, Cecil.
Yeah. I woke up today and I thought, is there going to be something right with the world in the afternoon? And I have Ruth Bader Ginsburg behind me on the wall here.
Yes, indeed.
We were going to lower it and we were going to put Trump, his mugshot,
his fucking big dumb mugshot.
That cocksucker decided to come in tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight. Instead of this morning or whatever. And so we don't have a mugshot yet.
Guys, I'm driving to the studio and I'm like, every stoplight, I'm like checking my phone. Come on.
He hasn't done it.
Let me see. And it's still,
He had surrendered and had been, he's already been arrested. Yep. He's already been processed. He's already been released.
Yeah.
But we still don't have a mugshot for
him. He posted his bond. He used a bail bondsman, $200,000 bond. He used a bail bondsman. That means he has to fork over only $20,000 in order for him to,
which is the most he's paid for anything in a long time.
Yeah, it's funny because like you actually have to pay that.
Yeah.
Right? Unlike most of his life, which is a series of fucking IOUs that he never actually pays.
Or you ever see him like walk into a place and say, hey, the food's on me. And he'll say some crazy thing like that and then leave and not actually.
Does he really?
He's done it. I've seen it multiple times where he'll walk into a place and be like, hey, everybody, I'm paying for everybody's dinner. And then he just leaves.
And then he just pieces out.
So he wants the publicity, but he doesn't want the responsibility. He does that all the time.
I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah, that's such a fucked up thing. But unlike the former president, they'll tackle you.
Yeah, right.
And they'll make you pay. Well,
and nobody would believe me either. If I walked into a room and it's like, it's on me, they'd be like, no,
it's not.
No one's like ordering an extra nice bottle of champagne when they look at what I'm wearing, you know?
Yeah. So what we do have, though, Tom.
We have some mugshots.
We got a few mugshots.
We got to talk mugshots.
So let's talk about some mugshots. We do not have Donald John Trump, who was processed already. And did you want to read anything about Donald Trump here?
No, I don't actually want to read about Donald Trump. I want to read about some of these clowns.
So Rudolph Giuliani, now, if throughout his life, he has looked like a Batman villain. I mean, 100% either, you know, if you throw a mask on him, you could go Riddler. You could go Penguin.
I got Green Goblin vibes.
Green Goblin could be a Spider-Man villain. Absolutely. Yep. So there's a lot of villains that you could, but genuinely, this light isn't doing him any favors.
I know.
Doing him any favors. He looks like Nosferatu got caught in the light of day. That's what he looks like. And he's about ready to explode in flame, but that's that microsecond beforehand.
Absolutely. I love this image. He just looks like a guy who, I don't know, got fucking arrested.
Just got arrested. Absolutely.
I do want to say real quick, I'm so glad that they're not getting any special treatment.
No, I'm super happy
about
that.
That's how the law should work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The law should be, hey, if you, no special treatment. Yeah. That means like no special treatment, meaning like black people don't get railroaded into crimes they didn't fucking commit.
Right.
And white people don't get away with crimes they fucking did commit.
And
that's how it should work. And the rich and the poor, justice should be blind.
And this upcoming Wednesday on our other show, Citation Needed, we cover Rudy Giuliani.
Yes.
Patrons will get it, have probably already gotten it by the time this releases, or at least they'll have the patrons of that show will probably have already listened to it. But Rudy Giuliani is the next topic. Well, Rudy Giuliani genuinely is a piece of shit. But one of the things that he did was he popularized the perp walk. He would take people from custody and he would walk them very, very openly in front of the media to get that shot to show that he's catching these people, right? He did it very purposefully and he was incensed when they did this to him. He was so fucking upset. He was yelling. He was very mad. He's like, they treated me like a common criminal. I was like,
you are a common criminal.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Maybe here's an idea, Rudy. Stop doing common crimes and then maybe you won't be treated like a common criminal.
Yeah. Yeah, like fucking be smarter and get away with them.
You know what I've never had to do in my life?
A perp walk.
You know what, Tom? You're a fucking psychic.
I've never had
to do a fucking perp walk in my life.
Oh, it's so good.
John Eastman, again, the camera, the camera here. First off, they filmed this with like a pinhole potato. It's unbelievable how bad these photos are. But genuinely, the lighting situation in there
is
harsh.
These pictures, these fucking people look fucking terrible.
He looks like
He
looks like one of the villains in The Time Machine, the old one.
He does.
Yeah, like one of those Morlocks.
Yeah, he's crawling up from the ground. Good, Eastman, you fuck. Where's your stupid hat now? Mark Meadows. Here he is. He's not on his phone.
He's not scrolling through fucking Candy Crush or whatever. Here's Cheese Bro. somebody who listens to our show, Tom, mentioned that they want to name their cat Cheese Bro. That was hilarious. He was
so
pissed too. This guy, Cheese Bro, was super pissed. They caught him outside. He was very upset.
Fucking good.
And it's like, good. Well, stop being a criminal. You know, it's super
easy.
He's
the fucking fake electors scam, like, originator.
Doesn't look like Jeffrey Clark has surrendered yet. They have until tomorrow. I think it was Meadows who sent a message that said, I don't want to have to surrender during the time frame that you suggest. And she's like, no. You will surrender at this time or I'll put out a warrant.
Yeah,
Those are your two options. You can either surrender yourself or she's like at 2 whatever it was at 2 p.m. on Friday, I will be signing warrants. So she's like there's no special treatment, you send me a letter and be like, "Oh, but I'm so important, eat a fucking dick." She's like she said something like, I've actually been very, very lenient with how I've handled this. So you should respect how lenient I've been. Because genuinely, most people probably wouldn't get the amount of time and the sort of—
I'm sure not. I'm sure not.
And also probably the fucking, the things all shut down, velvet rope style, to let them in.
Well, hang on a second. Let's then think back to the last time. So just for like the sake of— because you have to look at a comparative. Like, when was the last time a series of a dozen plus government officials were indicted for trying to stage a coup? What did they do then?
Mm. Yeah, no.
It's never happened before ever.
This is we got some precedent going on here.
Fucking Jenna Ellis looks like—
Hold on, I just got a text. The mugshot is out.
Oh,
hold on a second.
Stop the presses.
We're in the middle of a record.
We're in the middle of recording released to the future.
Stop the presses. Here we go. Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh God,
oh, it's beautiful, Tom. Oh, yes! It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh, thank you.
I love it.
It's beautiful.
I love it.
Oh, it's
so
gorgeous.
Piece of shit.
He looks so fucking mad. The people who can't see this. He
you
looks
guys,
so fucking mad right
glowering
now.
Glowering is the it only is word.
The
glowering.
Greatest fucking mugshot in the history of mankind. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, this is— the only thing I wish—
we need t-shirts.
We are getting t-shirts.
We need t-shirts.
We are getting t-shirts. A whole merchandise line.
We need t-shirts,
The only thing I wish is that behind these assholes was the like 5'6" thing, whatever. But you know, his height and weight's going to be released.
I think they'll probably be— let's see, do they put it
they're going to have
here?
To release his height and weight, because isn't he the guy who's like, yeah, I'm like 6'4", it's like 215, solid brick muscle.
I'm 6'7", 185.
Yeah, right. Yeah, me too, yeah. Don.
So Donald Trump has released it. So let's instead take a look back at the other ones. Jenna Ellis. She's smiling.
She is.
This is like a glamour shot for her.
Well, I mean, she's she's one of the elite squad team of lawyers that got them all into trouble.
I wonder if she's smiling because she doesn't understand. I wonder if she's smiling because she doesn't have to smell Rudy anymore. I wonder if she's happy. This guy.
What the fuck?
Ray Stallings Smith III. Can you read what he did?
Ray Stallings Smith III served as Donald Trump's local counsel, is accused of falsely testifying about election fraud before state lawmakers. Okay.
Wow.
He seriously, like, he looks like he drives an ice cream truck.
He's
scary looking.
He looks like somebody beat up Jerry Lee Lewis.
If this guy was arrested for, like, having bodies in the backyard, your neighbors would be like, yeah, I thought he had bodies back there.
There's none of that. Yeah, there's none of that polite. Jim? No one would have suspected him. Everybody's like, no, man, I smell. Yeah. Nah, that guy smelled like dead 1,000%
bodies. 1,000% that guy. We just fucking assumed, actually. Yeah.
Every time he came over, I looked under his fingernails.
Holy shit.
A couple people that didn't surrender. David James Schaefer, who was the former chairman of the Republican Party and former Georgia State Senator.
Yep.
He genuinely looks like they actually that Georgia at that point is being hit by a nuclear weapon.
the lighting is
so intense. It's like, you know, they're like, oh, hey, why don't we just turn this thing up full blast?
But also
bring four more in here. Yeah.
His face, when you were a kid, you ever carve a face into an apple?
He does look like, face carved into an apple. And then Harrison William Prescott Floyd. Harrison
Floyd, squinting into the sun,
was a leader of the organization Black Voices for Trump, was allegedly involved in the pressure campaign for Georgia Worker. Sidney Powell looks like the Joker. 100% looks like the Joker. She looks terrifying.
Her picture.
She looks unhinged. Like, this is one of those pictures that you look and you're like, oh yeah, you look like an unhinged person.
She also looks like the picture was taken using a funhouse mirror.
Yeah.
Like it looks distorted somehow.
For sure. We all know who Sidney Powell is. This lady looks like she just got run over by a truck. She's terrified.
She looks absolutely pants-shittingly scared. Terrified. This is
Kathleen Latham. Kathy Latham, former chair of the Coffee County Republican Party.
I didn't think justice would come from me.
Yeah, man. Scott Graham Hall. Scott Hall is an Atlanta area bail bondsman and one of the 19 defendants.
Sure, he can call one of his buddies.
Yeah, so that's all of them. And then the best one, of course, Donald Trump.
Oh, Donald Trump. Look at him glower.
Who we will, we promise next week
so
on
good,
one of our walls. We might replace, we took down the Jesus clock, so we may put him, you know, if there's some way I can open the Jesus clock and put his face
As the clock face. That's delicious.
That would be something else. Maybe we can order a clock with his mugshot as the clock face.
How long until we can get like mugs of his mugshot?
That'd be amazing.
We've got to get mugs of the mugshot.
Mugs of the mugshot. I mean, all this stuff is just, I just can't wait. This is so amazing. But genuinely, and I want to talk about the consequences of this. This feels like a big deal. I want to talk about a mistake I made last week. I was speculating because I said, Tom, what if the Georgia race becomes a race to pardon him?
Yeah.
And a bunch of people sent in messages and said, you can't actually pardon because Georgia's system is one of very few states in our nation, six states in our nation, that actually has a review board instead of the governor runs shit. Now in our state, the governor runs shit.
Right.
The governor, our governor, our previous governor, blanket pardoned thousands of people, right? Our governor, our previous governors have done that. They just blanket pardoned people. So I was operating under the assumption like Illinois,
like 44
like
of the 50 states.
A lot of states, have the same but system, Georgia which is the governor gets to choose. And if I figured if the governor came in and was like, well, I get to choose, he might or she might be able to just pardon him. And a bunch of people said, no, they can't do that. It's actually very difficult. And I want to say to those people, because we got a lot of messages about this, if you want to become a patron, you can correct me 2 days early. And so I know that a lot of people were excited about correcting me, but you can correct me 2 days early as a patron. And that's a big, I mean, I'm just saying, those people told me first. That's all I'm saying. I knew before you told me whether or not that happened because I got told
patron
by the patron.
Corrections matter more.
Yeah.
They just do. You know,
a couple things about that though. And I do want to, I don't know anything about the law, but a couple things stand out. One is that the board is chosen by the governor. Now the people, people have to serve out their terms. So if a governor chooses somebody, they have to serve out their terms. supposedly you can't get pardoned until you do at least part of your sentence. You have to do part of it.
That's good, at least.
But I did read in the amendment itself, like, it got me interested because I was like, well, what about, you know, what? A lot of the amendment doesn't talk about any of the rules that exist, right? So none of the rules that are in place about how these pardons happen are really in the amendment. They're part of a law. And okay. So I wonder if that law can be changed, even if you can't change that. Let's say you can't change that board, but let's say the governor can appoint whoever he wants. And then they change the laws that govern how these people are allowed to act. That might be like a workaround. The other thing that I saw that was alarming is part of the amendment has a thing that says you can get paroled, just get paroled if you're 62 and over for certain like hardship cases. So he's over 62.
Yeah, so he might just immediately and they might, get paroled.
And I don't know, but it's in this amendment, in this actual amendment to their constitution of Georgia. It says at the bottom, it says something about if you're 62, you can just get paroled. And I wonder if that's something they can. So I don't know anything about the law, right? I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. I don't know if those things would be loopholes. I'm sure many smart people have thought of it, but I also want to recognize too, you know, these people have been breaking the law since the beginning. And well, so the idea that they would somehow be bound by the law from this point on, I don't know that that's the case.
No, and I think what you're seizing on is like, there is nothing that they won't stoop to. There is no trick they won't employ. There's no law they won't change. There's no rig that they won't. There's no jury they won't try to rig. Sure. There's nothing that they won't stoop. The law doesn't work for me. Great, change it. Like,
and the
Republicans have done this time and time and time and time again. That's their playbook.
Yeah,
their playbook. I mean, look at what they tried to do in Ohio recently. They tried to be like, oh shit, you know, there's going to be a referendum that we don't think is going to go our way on abortion. So we're going to change the laws.
They tried, right?
They failed. But I mean, look at what they're always trying to do. Like, look, if I can't get the result I want democratically, I'll use structural methods.
Yeah.
And that's really like, look at, that's the whole purpose of voter disenfranchisement.
And that's why I've been looking at this a little closer.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people seem to hand wave and say, oh, well, he can't ever get out. He's fucked. He's totally fucked. And I'm like, maybe also, I've seen the Republicans change laws and run things up to Supreme Court. You know, who's to say that somebody doesn't take this to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court doesn't say, oh no, that's unconstitutional how you have it or something.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Who knows?
But genuinely, if they find that one little wedge, they're like a blast of water that just shoots through there and just erodes everything. They do it all the time.
They do.
And so I think I think I'm happy that it is the way it is, but I'm also leery that their playbook has always led them to this.
Yeah, I won't believe until the door shuts behind him.
Right. And he's been in there forever.
Yeah, right?
I won't believe in, you know, after a year, I still think there's a chance, you know, I'm like, he'll get up. Also, like somebody else sent me a message, a patron sent me a message and said, how are they going to house him? Like, you can't put him in a prison. He's a president. You can't. Just put
him, an ex-president.
I mean, he's an ex, but you can't just put him in general population.
Well, they probably have to put him in solitary with Secret Service guards.
They also might have to put him, well, also, you know, just the fact that he might get busted out of there by a foreign government. Like, there's foreign governments that may bust him out of there.
Like, bust him out of jail El Chapo style?
I don't think that's above the pale. And so there's a possibility someone else might bust him out. So you could run into some serious issues if you didn't. They might have to, this person suggested they might house him at a military base.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, this is a fucking mess because nobody ever expected this to happen.
Yeah, right. We've never had to send a fucking ex-president to prison before. Yeah, he's not going to fucking have like the same commissary and everything else as everybody else. Like, he's not going to be like, walking the fucking line with his fucking tray at lunchtime.
Yeah.
You know, looking for a seat in the fucking cell block or whatever.
He's yelling at the inmates. I'm not in here with you. You're in here with me. But yeah, so we'll see how that, and we want to talk a little bit about Trump. There's a couple of other things because he's got multiple cases going on. Yeah. We just talked about the Georgia one, but this one in particular is the documents case.
This is. So this story comes from the Daily Beast. Jack Smith reveals Trump employee flipped after ditching MAGA lawyers. So specifically, the employee is a guy who was in charge of the security cameras.
Yeah.
And initially he was like, no, man, we didn't do anything to security cameras to hide the footage.
I didn't see anyone
messing anything up.
Yeah.
And then, like, he got a new lawyer, and the lawyer was probably like, dude, you're going to fucking jail. And he's like, turns out, after being threatened with perjury, because they knew I was lying, because Jack Smith was like, bro, we know you're lying.
Yeah.
We fucking know it. Well, he's like, oh.
As soon as he switched lawyers, he had a Trump lawyer, the guy who was representing Trump. And as soon as he switched lawyers, the lawyer advised them to do this. And then they also got a promise from Smith that they won't prosecute him on the perjury charge.
Yeah.
And so he literally flipped. And this could throw that documents case a little curveball, especially because it has a very favorable judge right now.
Yeah, I think the documents case to me just seems the most open and shut case.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
You know, like there's the four fucking cases. The documents case, it just seems like you fucking had them.
Yeah.
We know because we went to your house and there they were.
And there's also communications and memorandum and people calling you to ask for them back and you saying you didn't have, like all these things.
I don't have them. And then you're on tape being like, here's a document I have. And then like other people are like, we loaded that onto your plane.
Yeah. So, you know, you're right. Him saying he didn't have them too is like, you know, you're an idiot.
Right.
You don't realize that they're also keeping records of this. I will say that that while that's interesting, there's another story that's tied similar to this. This is the Roger Stone video that came out. And Roger Stone basically outlined the fake electors plan two nights before the election and is recorded on tape doing it and basically dictating a memorandum to be sent out that basically said, as soon as before the votes are even tallied, you know, we need to send these people in to say there was fraud and so we can get our own electors there.
Yep.
And it's really damning because it's showing that they basically had that plan before anybody even counted a vote.
Yeah, before, because you can't say, hey, there was massive fraud. This plan was laid out November 5th.
Yeah.
So you can't say there was massive fraud in the election before the election is called.
Yeah.
Right? But like, they're just like, okay, look, here's the plan. We're probably going to lose the fucking election. Here's how we steal it.
Yeah.
And they did everything but say it in those words.
Yeah.
It's so blatant that they never had any intention of accepting the results of this election.
Yeah.
They never had any intention of
it. And I think they recognize, because I don't know if you remember, Tom, but do you remember how much Biden was leading by in some of those polls? Like, Biden was leading by quite a bit in some of those polls. They didn't have Trump winning by, you know, especially in many of those polls, there wasn't like it was close. It was like Biden was leading and they knew it.
Yeah.
They knew he was going to win.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't win by as many as the polls suggested, but he won.
He won. Yeah.
And so I think that they were planning for an inevitability. And really genuinely, him and there's another bit of tape too from Bannon talking and saying the exact same thing. And that also proves conspiracy, right?
Yep.
Like that also shows
absolutely
there's a conspiracy, right? There's a conspiracy between people. This isn't just one guy's idea. This is a bunch of people got together and said, this is the idea we're going to run with.
And then importantly, they ran with that idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not First Amendment shit. Like that's the thing that like makes me crazy.
Yeah.
Like they're like, oh, First Amendment, we can say what we want. It's like, no, look, yeah, you can say what you want. So Cecil, you and I could get together in a room and we could have a conversation about how we could launder some money, right? Yeah. And then that conversation is just talking. It's just talking.
Sure.
But then if we go ahead and launder the money, then the conversation we had before we laundered the money was the conspiracy to launder the fucking money. The thing is, like, they did the fake electors thing. So because they did it, all the word talkings ahead of time are now part of the fucking act itself.
You're allowed to write whatever you want down, right?
Right.
This guy can dictate. Roger Stone can dictate any memorandum he wants. And if no one takes action on it, it could be the most vile thing in the world.
Right.
But if no one takes action on it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No one's going to go to Roger Stone and be like, well, you wrote that memorandum once. And he could say, well, nobody did anything about it.
Yep.
But the problem is you did something. You wrote that memorandum and you did that vile shit.
Right. You wrote the memorandum and then you went around and you walked from, you know, state legislature, state legislator shopping your shit to all of those guys. And you got a bunch of those chuckleheads to sign up and be like, I am the undersigned and I promise I'm an elector.
you know, what's interesting too, after seeing this tape drop, I wonder if they just went out and found Eastman to be the guy who would be the person who would say, yeah, I'll put my name on that.
Maybe. Maybe, because I don't know what the fuck they need him for since this was already out.
If it was already, if they were already talking planning about this on
November
doing
5.
This. Yeah. Although, I wonder if Eastman was the part about the vice president and these guys were already figured out. Yeah.
Maybe, because he was, I do think he was the one floating that crazy bullshit idea that
the vice president could shit things out. Maybe I'm conflating things that aren't real.
Possibly.
Maybe the fake electors thing was beyond him and it wasn't the fake electors. It was just reject votes.
Yeah. Maybe.
It could be.
I don't know. Because, the other thing, too, and I think this is kind of important, actually, is they were all in the same soup, man.
Yeah, man.
They were all in the same soup. It's not like, and that's the whole point of the RICO thing. And I know this is a different case than that. But, like they're all conspiring together and working together to stage a coup. And that gets fucking messy. It gets real messy. It's like, all right, who's in charge of which part of the coup, raise your hand. It's like, well, we're all part of the coup.
Yeah,
that's
man.
How coups work, motherfucker.
Yeah, man, they were all part of it.
And,
and the interesting thing, too, about the January 6th one is they do mention conspiracy. They're just not charging a RICO charge.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
The librarian is the single biggest risk to this entire operation.
All right, so this story comes from LGBTQ Nation. Town fires librarian who worked there for 11 years because she refused to remove LGBTQ plus books.
Yeah, this one is from Wyoming, and they wound up in this state, in this like city library. They wound up rejecting the American Library Association funding for the place. They wound up throwing that out, and then they wound up wandering through the library to basically pull out any books that had anything to do with any kind of gender issues or LGBT,
sexuality,
anything. And at one point, one person, what did they say? I got to find it. This person who said, this lady, and in this one part of this article, she says, at a board meeting in October, one angry resident claimed her personal survey of the teen section revealed 60% of the books were witchcraft. Another had said that this library had become an indoctrination center.
Well, you know how she counted all those books that quickly? She twinkled her nose. And
no, she just used the sorting hat.
There you go.
It's so gross that they're attacking libraries. But every time we've talked about this, people have always sent in messages and said, yeah, this is a place that you go for. This is who you go for. If you go for this. And I want to bring in a little bit of TV that I watched last night to talk a little bit about this. And I watched the Republican debates last night. They had 8 or 9 people on the stage. And they talked about several things that were, I would say 85 to 90% of the stuff that they said was outright deplorable, outright disgusting, just stuff that you just can't believe that they believe this stuff.
Right.
Climate change is a hoax. And almost everybody on the stage was saying that. Everybody was saying, we need to eliminate the EPA. We need to drill, drill, drill. I mean, this is drill, baby, drill.
Right.
You know,
right.
From
this
back from Palin.
Sarah Palin.
Right? This is Sarah Palin. But this is drill, baby, drill from back then. And this is who they are. And they had a couple people who said one or two things that you could kind of agree with a little bit. A couple people got down on Donald Trump and while there was tons of boos around that, there certainly was applause.
It wasn't uniform.
It wasn't uniform boos. And at one point, Mike Pence made a show to try to get everybody on stage to admit that he did the right thing by rejecting their push so he could throw the electors back to the states. And everybody, even DeSantis, begrudgingly agreed with him that he did the right thing. He stood for the Constitution. And in a backhanded way, he was putting down Trump. Chris Christie was very anti-Trump, but it really didn't matter. He was getting booed out every time he spoke. They asked him about aliens at one point. Dude, it was fucking
Are you fucking serious?
I'm not even kidding.
They asked him about aliens?
He laughed at the lady. He said, are you seriously asking me about aliens right now? And she said, yeah, man. He's like, you're a New Jersey girl. What is wrong with you? Like, I mean, he's genuinely asking her, what is fucking wrong with you? Look, and then he finally says something like, yeah, of course I want people to know what's happening behind the scenes in government. Next question. I mean, it's just stupid.
I have no love for Chris Christie.
I don't.
I really don't.
I don't.
But I do love that he is going after Trump.
Yeah.
I do like, I don't, he doesn't think he's going to win.
No.
I don't think he's going to win. Nobody thinks he's going to win. I just want somebody to beat the shit out of that man with a brick.
He's taken a beating, and he's taken a beating from different angles. And, you know, there was a surprising couple of people on stage who didn't agree with abortion as a federal law. There was a couple of people that were saying we shouldn't have an anti-abortion federal law. And so I was surprised at that. I thought, well, that's interesting. You know,
well, one of them was a woman, right?
Yeah, one of them
Nikki
was a
Haley.
Woman. Yeah,
it's amazing how
one
women
of them was a woman.
Yeah, don't actually want to have their rights curtailed.
She was just basically saying that we need to leave it up to the states. We decided, you know, these unelected people already decided we need to leave it at that. And a bunch of people were, you know, they were going after her, basically saying, you know, no women belong in the kitchen. But in any case, the main part that I want to tie into this story about these libraries is that most of the people on stage, if not all the people on the stage, they want to eliminate the Department of Education.
They want to
ruin education for everybody. And everybody applauded when DeSantis said he removed critical race theory. You know, what they want is they want a world that they can turn to everybody and say, I know this world is curated for my kids and will not, it won't challenge them at all. It won't challenge who they are. They will be the children that I make them be, not the children that I hope they become, right? There's a difference, right? Making your child who you want and your child becoming who they are. Mm-hmm. And they're not doing the latter. And so this is another way to have that same outcome.
I feel like there's almost like a tacit recognition in all this anti-education rhetoric that just like, they just know their dumb ideas need dumb people to vote for.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know? Yeah. And it's like, they're just like, oh, these fucking ideas are dumb. And you know, we're really tired, all you hoity-toity book learning folks with your university degrees and your science knowledge. This is really how they like think. It's like, yeah, you know, all you ivory tower academics. And it's like, those are just subject matter experts, man.
Yeah.
Like that's like we've talked about in the show. Like we should cede the floor to subject matter experts when we are in the realm of their subject.
Sure.
And we do that all the time with all the other stuff, right? Like when I take my car to a mechanic, that's tacitly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm ceding the floor to a subject matter expert who knows more than I do about this thing. We do it all the time. But there's this like weird right-wing anti-intellectualist strain that like doesn't want to acknowledge that, that thinks that the world is still little prairie small, and that you can know everything. Yeah. One man or woman, but in their case, one man only, right? Because women aren't people.
Sure.
Like one Republican man can know everything that there is to know about the world that's important.
And distill whatever they want into their child. Yeah.
And like, we just live in a world where one person can't know much of anything about the world that we live in.
Yeah.
It's too complicated, right? Like, I live in a world that I don't, and I recognize it, that I don't fully understand how most of the things that I buy, that I interact with, that I work with, I don't understand, you know, I don't have a degree in economics.
Yeah.
And I have to play in the world of economics all day. I don't know how my car works, right? At all. I don't know how any of this fucking studio shit works. I like the amount of shit I don't know is far greater than the amount of shit that I do. But like Republicans want to live in a world that still supposes we are in a log cabin.
Yeah.
And we're not in a fucking log cabin.
Yeah, man.
And the world's so much more complicated, and they refuse to live in that worldview.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really scary. And the person on the stage I think that was the most afraid of is the young guy. What was his name?
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Vivek Ramaswamy. And I will say, I hadn't heard of him at all until maybe a week ago, a listener had sent a message in and said, hey, do you know anything about this guy? And I said, literally never seen anything about him. I don't pay a lot of attention to the Republican up and comers. It doesn't, it's nothing to me. I'm just like, I don't care. But genuinely on stage, he was the most vociferous. He was the loudest. He was the most bombastic. He was the one ready to insult and be demeaning. And he was the fastest talker, the smoothest talker, but also genuinely had the worst ideas. I mean, genuinely the worst ideas.
I worry with that fucking guy that he is in his 30s. He's like, he's got a hip hop thing going. Do you know he's got a hip hop album? He's got a fucking hip hop album. He's got a smooth kind of like hip kind of, you know, take on Republicanism, but he's Trumpist. like all of his views. He's just Trumpism. He's kind of the thing we've always been worried about.
Yeah.
Like we have always been worried on this show. We've talked about it many times. We've always been worried about like, what if a Trumper came along that was good at it? Because Trump damn near ruined everything. And he's trying to do it again. And he might get close again. He damn near ruined everything. And he's a fucking dumbass. Right? And he's not a particularly charismatic person. Like nobody, like you either think he's like fucking brilliant or you see through him for what he is. I really worry with somebody that's slick.
This guy's slick, man. This guy
I
is
worry
slick.
About that.
And he was needling everybody on the stage. He was attacking everybody on the stage. Now, he wasn't attacking as overtly as Trump has in the past. Yep. So Trump in the past would just say, you know, like your wife is ugly or something.
Yeah,
I mean, he would say some insane. Horrible,
yeah,
he'd come horrible
up with a
thing.
Stupid nickname.
He would call him a stupid nickname or make fun of them, demean them in some way.
Or tell them their dad killed Kennedy.
Yeah. I mean,
you
just,
remember that
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's I so much. That. There's so much yeah. that he would say. But this guy would demean you. This guy demeans people. And yeah. that's what he does. He was demeaning people. And he was basically, the one thing Pence did was he turned to the guy and he said, I don't think this is the time for amateurs to be in the office. I mean, he just like blasted this guy. And then they kind of got into a little back and forth. And this guy isn't listening to anybody.
Yeah.
He perfectly made it clear yesterday night when Pence said something, he said, I don't really know what you said, but blah, 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 blah. And he just went off and he literally said, I don't even know what you said.
Wasn't paying attention.
It didn't sound like he was paying attention. To me, it sounded like he didn't care whether he understood it.
God damn.
And I was like, wow, okay, well.
But people are going to eat that up on the right because there's belligerence
so.
As a value.
I think so. And I think I was introduced to him last week and I was like, holy shit, no, the person who introduced me to him, they were smart. They knew that this guy could be pretty scary and genuinely, he feels like a pretty scary dude.
Not this hellhole where the worthy elite live in fear of rent control.
So Cecil, this story comes from AboveTheLaw.com. The Supreme Court could overrule rent control in New York and across the nation. So rent control, court cases involving rent control have made their way near the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has declined to take up those cases.
Right.
And you can tell, but the Supreme Court has declined to take up lots of cases that they've recently taken up. When the majority shifted to be 6-3 evil, they now take up lots of cases.
Yeah,
and just
sure.
You can tell where they're going to rule by the fact that they took up a case that historically
they would have
the court
never,
would not have taken up.
They would have never
what they're signaling is, we are sympathetic to this and we'd like to revisit it now that we have a majority.
Yeah.
And I'm really concerned that if they take this up, that there's just going to be a massive displacement of people from affordable housing. Because we have a dearth of affordable housing in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's sad. And we don't have, people are finding out. I mean, Gen Z, even millennials, you know, there's a lot of people out there that can't afford homes.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
Nothing. They can't afford rents. And rents in some parts of the nation aren't controlled, right? They're just not controlled. But in large cities, some large cities, there are laws on the books that make it so you can't up your rent by massive percentages and just basically out-inflate your tenants. So if you don't like the people that live in the place where you're renting, you can turn it into a higher rent place by just raising the rent up to the point where nobody can rent there. And so they have to leave and they have to, but in certain places of the country, they're protected. These rents are protected. You can't just walk in and do that.
Is Chicago protected?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know.
I've never heard of it.
I've never heard it in Chicago either. But you know, the problem is that rents are going up all over and they're going up slower in New York because there's protections against this sort of thing. And so this might go up to the Supreme Court, but again, it's one of these things that, you know, genuinely, this could be, you know, there's all these little sticks you're throwing on the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And man, this is one of those ones that genuinely, if this thing blows up, housing gets out of control to the point of something. And then, you know, climate change being out of control.
I know, man.
I mean, you're talking about bedlam in society. I mean, I really genuinely believe there could be some serious problems in our society with a lot of people.
Revolting.
We're not just talking about protesting. We're talking about revolting here.
Yeah.
Where they will go against the government if this is because you don't have anything to lose. You're unhomed. You don't have any belongings. This is a, that's a genuine, you know, you can only squeeze so much.
Yeah.
At a certain point, somebody's going to, something's going to break.
Someone's going to squeeze back.
Yeah.
How about squeezing in a home cooked meal? Hi, I'm Ian. And with HelloFresh, you get farm. I'm sorry. with HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Fall is right around the corner, and HelloFresh is here to help you plan for the busy season ahead with tasty dishes delivered to your door. Simply choose your recipes and pick your delivery date, and then lay back and enjoy the last days of summer knowing dinner is covered. Feel like you would love a wholesome homemade meal, but there just isn't enough time? With HelloFresh, all you need is 15 minutes, and you'll be enjoying a tasty, satisfying meal made in your own kitchen. Just look for their quick and easy dinner options, plus quick breakfasts and lunches too. Does it feel like your family is hungry, like, all the time? Add snacks, sides, and more to your weekly HelloFresh order. Just simply shop HelloFresh Market and take your pick from a curated selection of over 100 add-on items. Parents have enough back-to-school shopping and planning to do. Let HelloFresh get the groceries and save you some cash with pre-portioned meals delivered right to your door. Hey, is your life busy? Well, don't get delivery. Get the HelloFresh. Or are you sitting at home doing F-all? Why not try doing HF-all? HelloFresh. All. It's 25% cheaper than takeout and less expensive than grocery shopping, too. Just choose your recipes and receive fresh, pre-portioned ingredients so you can get cooking quick. I've had HelloFresh, honestly, for years. It's pretty great in terms of, like, just having everything that you need for one meal. I mean, you can kind of ad-lib a little extra on top, but instead of buying super bulk and then having half of it go bad, which has never happened to me, that why would I let things sit out on the counter when you're not supposed to? And I don't know how to store carrots properly, apparently, or herbs, apparently. I should just probably plant it. I buy too much, and then you put it in the water, and then it gets all kind of gross in the water at the bottom. So it's like, do you put them in the fridge in the water? Anyway. I've just used HelloFresh, and they give you all the stuff, and it's pretty cool. And so that's, it makes it kind of simple. There you go. So go to HelloFresh.com/50Glory. That's 50Glory. And use code 50Glory for 50% off plus free shipping. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/50Glory. And use code 50Glory. America's number one meal kit. And speaking about wanting to snag on something, maybe you'll be interested in our next sponsor, Adam and
Eve. Now, Ian.
What, Gary?
You have to have a clean separation between ads.
Why?
Because, Ian, we are trying to go legit since the incident.
Oh, no. The incident.
Ian.
What?
No flashbacks.
Ugh, fine. How are the listeners going to know what we're talking about then?
They don't need to know about the incident.
I'm going
to
tell them.
No Wayne's World dilly-doos either.
Oh, come on!
Read the ad.
Okay. Hey, everyone. Ian and Gary here. Now, studies show that when you hear our voices, nothing gets you over to AdamandEve.com quicker.
Yeah, that's called flight response.
What?
They're recoiling in disgust from our voices.
Hey!
What? You know it's true.
No, I don't.
You don't trust the science, Ian?
I don't understand the question, and I won't respond to it.
Read the ad.
I was trying to go to AdamandEve.com and use code GLORY. Hear my lustrous voice when I say, use code GLORY. When you do, you get 50% off almost any one item, 3 free gifts, 6 free spicy movies, free and discreet shipping. Adam and Eve has thousands of products to enjoy, outjoy, rejoy, and mejoy.
And youjoy.
Shut up, Gary. So, use code GLORY, that's G-L-O-R-Y, GLORY, at checkout at AdamandEve.com. Is that good enough for you, Gary?
Nothing's good enough for me. Not since the incident.
Stop mentioning the incident.
Okay, say bye, Ian. Oh, you forgot to record this part? Okay. Bye-bye. Code GLORY.
Wait, you know, the housing affordability is such a massive crisis, and it's getting so bad. It's getting so much worse than it's ever been. The just 3 years ago, the median age to buy your first home was 32 in 2020. It's 36 now.
Holy shit, dude.
It went up 6 years in 3 years. It's good because housing is no longer affordable. To buy the median price, and I'm going to get this wrong, but the median price for a first time home right now, or no, the median price for a home right now is up around $400,000. That's the median price for a home. That's insane.
Yeah.
That is far, far beyond most people's means country. Because the median household income is still like $60,000 some.
You're putting it way out of reach for everybody. It's way ridiculous. Out of reach. It's way out of reach.
You're talking about like housing that is, you know, 7.5 times the median income. The median house home value to be 7.5 times.
Yeah.
The median income value, that's not how the system is supposed to work. And the reality is it doesn't work.
Yeah.
The system is breaking and rents are breaking as well. Rents are going through the fucking roof. The other day, just out of curiosity, I looked back and I was curious because I was reading some stuff about rents because I happen to be in this line of business for my day job. So I was reading about housing and affordability and rents and all this. And I was looking at, you know, rents and I thought, I wonder how much the apartment I rented just like 5, 6 years ago.
6 years ago, yeah.
So 6 years ago, I rented a place, a little two-bedroom place, and it was about $1,600 a month. It's now $2,900 a month for that same
Holy
apartment.
Holy shit, dude. That's like a whole third more.
Yeah, $2,900. It went up $1,300 in 6 years. That's just a little two-bedroom apartment.
Third, it's almost a half. Yeah, that's a lot.
It's fucking insane,
man. That's a lot, yeah.
It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
That is not a reasonable rent for just a little, you know, 900 square foot, two bedroom apartment. That's insane.
Do you know how much your, if you're, did you check out the price of how much they're charging for the house you were in? Did you even bother to look?
For the house that
house that you just moved out of?
I don't know yet. I have looked, but I haven't, I don't know what they, I will find it, but I don't know what they rented it out for. I'm sure it was more. They rented that house. So the house that I was renting a house and I moved out of that house in May and they had new tenants in there by June.
Wow. Okay.
So they had tenants in there. They just did a little bit of work, got it, you know, cleaned up or whatever. And there's new tenants in there. There were new tenants in there pretty much immediately.
Wow.
Because people are desperate.
Yeah.
People are desperate for a place to live. Yeah. And I don't know what they're charging, but I know that I'm certain they're charging much more.
There's more rent. Yeah.
And I want to just say like, to not knock the people I rented from because they were actually really nice people. They were just like a family that moved to a different house. They rented the house. They had one property. They were really, and they never raised the rent on me in 6 years.
No kidding.
They never raised the rent on me in 6 years.
Yeah, they just kept it with their thing or whatever.
The lease every year for 6 years, they just extended the lease.
The thing is though, like when everybody else around them raises the rent,
mm-hmm.
they will see they'll know what that is.
Yeah,
and then
that'll establish the market value.
And it establishes the market value of that place. And the problem is that market value is just based on home prices and availability.
Yep.
And you start out renting to places and start raising rents all over, it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a bad situation. Yeah. I think genuinely there needs to be something done on a macro level across the country. Something needs to happen on a macro level to make sure that there's some sort of affordable housing for people and that stabilizes housing costs, rent costs. I think I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I don't either. Housing is a human right.
Yeah.
Housing is a human right. And we need to have some parts of our economy should not be market-based. And I do think housing should be divorced, at least in some fundamental ways. Housing should be divorced from this sort of capriciousness of the market. People should not gain, you know, 20% equity in 2 years. That's absurd. People should not lose 40% of their equity in a fucking economic crash in 2008 like we had. Like there should be standards. There should be like rates that are set by the government, not by banks. We there should be some controls on some of this because housing is a human right.
Yeah.
And when we leave housing up to the capricious whims of the terrible free market, this is the runaway sort of shit we get.
This is, absolutely.
Is that Mr. Beast?
This kid looks sick as heck, dude.
Bruh.
Do you want a heart to save your life? Or do you want a Mr. Beast wrapped Tesla?
I would literally kill myself for a Tesla.
Good boy.
I'm worried about this. Okay. I want to celebrate this article, but I'm worried about
it. Okay.
This story comes from The Verge. YouTube starts mass takedowns of videos promoting harmful or ineffective cancer cures. That is just objectively a good thing.
Sure.
I just think our experience with YouTube is they're fucking terrible at everything. Yeah. And their algorithms are my balls.
Yeah. And I wonder too if they just anybody who talks about anything that is even remotely like this. We had an experience where they took one of our videos down. And I said this on the show again, and I'm going to say it again. One of the videos that we got taken down, they said that we were spreading conspiracy theories, and we were quoting a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
The 2 seconds before they sent me a code, a time code of this tape, and they said, listen here to know what you did wrong. And it's you saying some crazy shit. But if you scroll back, I'm not kidding, 15 seconds, you hear you say, and I quote.
Right.
And then you read this crazy shit and it's you quoting someone who's a QAnon conspiracy theorist, and they thought it was us because they can't discern those things. They thought we were anti-vaxxers. They can't discern.
Nope.
They don't know the difference, and they won't pay the money to make sure that somebody is sitting there, or multiple, like you need a lot of people, but they're not paying to have humans review this stuff. This is all done by a computer.
Absolutely.
This is not done by people. No. And so while this feels good, it is also draconian, and it could take down debunkers.
That's exactly my worry, man, is that you have a cottage industry that is incentivized to the tunes of millions and millions and millions of dollars to sell quack cures to desperate people.
Yeah.
They have the money. Debunkers don't have fucking dollar one.
Yep.
They don't have. So all of the structural advantage here goes to the crooks.
Yeah.
All of it. The people who are coming at and debunking and breaking this down and saying, that's bullshit. Don't go on the fucking Gerson diet because alkali is nothing. And you go to your doctor. You know, like the people who are saying that, they're going to have a hard time, because you're going to have systems that are listening for those keywords. And those people who are like, hey, I want to point out these bad actors. I want to make a video saying like this guy over here is a scam, and that essential oils aren't a cure for fucking anything, and rubbing fucking grapefruit juice on your nuts isn't going to like cure your sciatica or whatever.
It smells nice though.
It does smell nice. And it's invigorating.
I use grapefruit bitters and then a twist of lime.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah.
it's like when you shave and you put that aftershave on.
Oh my God.
Put some citric acid on your balls.
Stingy.
And see how
stingy.
That feels.
That's not a post-shave moment.
No, no, no.
Woo.
And if you want a post-shave moment, you can go to Manscaped.com.
Manscaped! Sponsor of the show.
How long before climate change renders this planet unlivable?
Here's the opposite side of this, Tom.
Yeah, this is from The Guardian. Alarm at exodus of climate voices on Twitter after Musk takeover. So this is pretty much what it sounds like. Musk took over. People who were climate activists were like, yeah, I can't be here anymore.
And the way this article is written, it says that the researchers found that one of the most positive communities about climate change was on Twitter before. And once he took over, it has just been a cesspool. And I will attest to this. I was scrolling through Twitter to answer some questions the other day for Citation Needed. And when I was scrolling through, because I don't ever go to Twitter. Like I only go to Twitter and I click on notifications for Citation Needed. I never go for our show.
Sure.
Once maybe every 2 weeks I'll go for our show. But Citation Needed, people will send messages. And just so happened this week, they sent me a message about something I had to fix. And so that's good. So I do go check there occasionally. And so I checked for Citation Needed. And I just so happened to see one of these graphics that started to show the climate since 1862 now. And it's got this circle that keeps spinning. And as the circle spins, it's showing like the months and what the climate is, the average global temperature. And it's working its way out. And as it got to the 80s, it just started really expanding much farther out than it was before. And it got to this point. And then the visualization turns it on its side. So it's now a funnel. And it shows, you know, if you were to take this circle that you've been looking at, this drawn circle, and you were to extend it out as a spiral, it would be a like a funnel, and it would funnel up and show that it's much more greater temperatures now than right. there were in the 1860s or whatever. And underneath this video that shows those global temperatures was just a ton of misinformation and people saying, well, yeah, every planet on the in the solar system is getting hotter because we're in a phase or something like that. And I'm just like, oh my God, what is happening? These people have they don't know anything about what they're talking about, but they're willing to say literally any lie to get people to believe them or to retweet them. And it's just a cesspool underneath, and it's all blue check marks because he is promoting all those crackpots who pay him $8.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, if that's all it takes now, right? If that's all it takes now is that if you are big oil, you know, if you are one of these moneyed lobbyist groups, you know, you're gonna fucking AstroTurf this stuff.
Yeah.
This is like Twitter is just AstroTurf Central, man.
That's all it is.
It's a fucking AstroTurf warehouse.
That's all it is.
It's the worst. You can't tell good from bad. You can't tell up from down over there.
Yeah.
The trick is just to have more voices.
Yeah.
More voices. And like that whole I'm a free speech absolutist stuff, he is not.
No.
Right? He is not. He's got a fucking agenda and he's creating a space that allows his agenda to thrive.
Absolutely.
And that's his right. He spent $44 billion to do that.
Yeah.
And it is our right to leave and to make him take a $44 billion loss.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
The U.S. Congress still denies climate change?
Fuck, this article made me so sad. It's from Politico. Fuck. Conservatives have already written a climate plan for Trump's second term.
And it's a fucking disaster.
Yeah, it's basically like burn everything.
Yeah.
Burn the whole world.
It sounds like they are going to not just defund the EPA, but turn it into a conservative EPA to reverse every decision, drill as much as possible, roll back every single bit of sustainable energy steps that we've taken so far and curtail them for the future. Really, genuinely, there's a movie, Tom, years ago with a gentleman and a scholar in it by the name of Rowdy Roddy Piper. And the movie is called They Live. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. I watched this movie
a million years ago.
I saw this movie a long time ago. I love this movie. But the plot is pretty simple. These aliens come to Earth and then they mask themselves as they are not aliens around us. They look like normal people. But they're actually lizard aliens. Very much David Icke aliens, right? And they are changing our climate and changing things so that the planet is becoming more like their habitat, right?
Okay, yeah.
And they're not lizards. Lizards was V. They're actually just skulls. They look like skull faces. They look like people without skin or something, as I recall. And when you put these glasses on, you can see them, and then you could look around and subliminally underneath like billboards and things, they've placed like words like obey or
things like that.
And if you put these glasses on, you look at like a beautiful billboard of like someone being like, buy, you know, these beautiful dresses or something like that. And underneath it just says obey on it and whatever. And there are politicians, they're the famous people, et cetera, who are constantly, they're the people who are setting agendas, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And when I read this, I was like, come on, where's the glasses at? Because you're clearly fucking, you see the cliff and you're fucking, you turn over to whoever's driving, you knock them over and you put your foot down to the fucking floor.
Yeah, man.
And
yeah.
You want to drive this fucker off the cliff. And I'm blown away, especially seeing the massive changes we've seen in the last like 10 years, that there are so many people out there that are like, no, we need to go farther.
I can't believe that either. I really did think we had more time.
Yeah.
And it is so evident now that we do not have more time, that things are bad.
Yeah.
They're never going to get better.
Yeah.
They're just not going to get, if we do everything in our power, they could maybe not get a lot worse. That's the choice here. Yeah. We don't have a choice of roll time backwards, suck the carbon out of the air. Like, we don't know how to do any of that. Like, that's, we don't have massive scalable infrastructure to do that stuff. Like, we're talking about like switching over our energy infrastructure to avoid making things much, much worse.
Yeah.
But things are already bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how we live in a world where like we're seeing wildfires that eat up whole towns and all the people in them because shit's been so dry and because there's tropical storms blowing this fucking winds, you know, like we're what we have floods and disasters constantly at a level that we did not have.
Yeah.
We just objectively did not have. And we're just like, yeah, but what if we don't fix it? What if we just let it get worse?
Yeah.
Let's just keep these people. I don't understand. These people have like, you and I used to like always say, like, there's no way that like somebody found the cure for cancer and didn't tell the world, right? Because they live in a world full of people they love too.
Yeah.
But I am having a hard time with that idea now.
No, I mean, especially with this.
Right. Because like, presumably they live in a world with people that they love too. And I'm looking around and I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I really wish I didn't have kids because I don't think they're going to have a life that's worth a shit. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Cause like, I'm like, yeah, you're going to live till you're 80 and like, you know, you were born in 2006 and you're going to live to 2086. And do I think the world's going to be worth a damn in 2086? I don't, you know, and I don't understand how they don't think this way. I feel like, what am I missing? Am I seeing hurricanes that other people aren't seeing? What's going on?
I think that they are willing to ignore any of this as a way to say, I've got mine. I want to make sure I keep getting mine. And I want to make sure I keep greasing the right palms and doing the right things for these interests that I've built my career doing these things for. And so I think that they don't see the world you see.
Yeah.
They are literally seeing a different world. They don't see a world that's falling apart. They see a world that is, you know, a giant, plush, gorgeous world full of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so for them, they think, well, no, this is exactly how the world should be. But they don't have to deal with that stuff. Maybe once in a while, they have to contend with it. You know, their house gets burned down by a wildfire or a hurricane knocks down one of their guarding walls outside,
right,
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the most part, they don't have to deal with it. The people who are going to have to deal with this are the people on the margins. Those are the people who are going to have to deal with this time and time and time and time again.
Yeah, for sure.
There are going to be people who are going to be dying more and more and more and more because of climate change. There's going to be people who are poorer, who are going to be more and more displaced by climate change. Those things are true. That's going to happen. And once it starts happening, it's got to start happening to the rich for it to really matter.
Yeah, because we a couple of weeks ago, there was a story, we just didn't get to it. There was a story from our notes where despite the like insane, oppressive, crazy heat wave in Texas, the Republican governor rolled back rules
for water breaks. Yeah.
There's a callousness to this, Cecil, that is, it's like purposeful and intentional.
Yeah.
And it's like the cost here is nothing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what if we switched to green energy and then we didn't need to? And you'd be like, all right, cool. And then everything was cleaner. Like, and then what? Like, we lived in a cleaner world? That would be bad.
What
Why?
Happens though is that massive interests that own a lot of oil lose money.
Yeah.
And like, so for them,
I don't shift your fucking dividends and portfolios into
I am sure they're doing that, but right now they control the purse strings and they control the government.
God, it's so bad, bro.
I mean, you can't, we talked about it before, you can't be an ethical billionaire. I don't think you can own a multi-billion dollar business either or be on one of those boards and be ethical
either. I don't think so either.
I don't think you can be ethical. I think you make choices to hurt people all the time. If we do actually get to the point where rich people are being inconvenienced, I think the world's really going to be gone really far at that point. It's going to be gone really far. So we're in a bad situation. If we can't change, if the youth of this country can't come out in force and change things, because half of our generation is fucking Nazis.
I know.
Right?
I know. What
like
the
three
fuck
quarters of our fucking generation is Nazis. So we're
fuck?
Not going to help you.
Yeah.
Like I can't help you. Right. My generation is shit. We can't help you. So what, you know, the millennials, they checked out a long time ago. Maybe they'll check back in, but it's the young people who are going to have to turn this thing around.
That's a lot to hand them.
But who else is going to do it?
That's the thing.
I can't can't go to the Klan rally and get my generation over here.
I know. But like the only hope that I have for that is that we basically said, hey, existentially, this is yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, that's not fair.
No,
that's
not, it's
cool.
Not fair.
That super sucks.
It's not
that's
fair,
that's a ceding,
man,
of our responsibilities.
It's not
but
fair.
But it's like, all right, well, here you go, dumbass. Like, I guess you got born wrong.
It's not fair, man.
It sucks.
It's not fair. It's really fucking, it's yeah, really shitty to lay on a generation that should be relying on us.
Yeah.
It's really shitty.
It is.
But the problem is we've shown time and time again, and the boomers have shown time and time again, they don't give a fuck.
No, we have shown, we've done, we could not be more clear that we've given up our responsibility to be good stewards of this,
yeah,
of this world.
I agree wholeheartedly.
And it's like, it's so dumb too. Like, I have one friend that is just genuinely wealthy, and he does wealthy guy stuff. And one of the wealthy guy stuff things that he does is he goes to ski at the tops of these mountains in these like really remote places, like helicopters drop him off, the whole fucking thing.
Sure.
And like, even he, who tends to be a little bit more conservative, he still votes blue and all that, but like he's a little more conservative,
yeah, sure,
than I am. But like, we'll talk and he's like, oh yeah, he's like, we're doing this ski thing because he's like, everyone that we go there, and it's a playground for the rich. It's not a playground for anyone else.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, they're all telling us like they're probably going to be shut down in the next couple of years because they won't have enough snow. So like, even the ultra wealthy are like, their inconveniences are like, oh, we've got a vacation at a new place.
I guess we'll have to find a new place to go.
Right.
Yeah.
That's their inconvenience. Yeah. So they're like watching the world change. I think it's undeniable that the world is changing. Nobody's blind enough to think otherwise.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. They're just like, yeah, it doesn't change for me.
They think that they can ride it out, man.
Ride it out where?
They're going to die soon.
They're going to fucking die.
That's the thing. As long as they doesn't inconvenience them too much before they die.
God.
But what exactly do you find offensive?
Ian,
what's offensive?
You put a greased, naked woman,
yes,
on all fours,
yes,
with a dog collar
with
around
dog collar,
her neck and a leash.
And a leash.
And a man's arm extended out up to here, holding on to the leash and pushing a black glove in her face to sniff it. You don't find that offensive?
No,
you don't.
I don't
find that sexist?
This is 1982.
That's
Bobby,
right,
come
it's
on.
1982. Get out of the 60s. We don't have this mentality anymore.
Well, you should have seen the cover they wanted to do.
I don't care what they want.
So this story comes from The Independent. Rudy Giuliani goes on unhinged rant claiming Mike Pence's wife leads him around on a leash.
So I want to play both pieces. One is Mike Pence. One is Rudy Giuliani. And so I'm just going to play them both so that you can listen to each of them and see what you think. This is Mike Pence. We're going to start out with him.
Sadly, the president was surrounded by a group of crackpot lawyers that kept telling him what his itching ears wanted to hear. And while I made my case to him of what I understood my oath of the Constitution to require, the president ultimately, continued to demand that I choose him over the Constitution. And so in this moment, irrespective of how this case plays out, I want the American people to know that I believe with all my heart that by God's grace, I did my duty that day.
Wow, you did one thing right. Good,
I love how he's casting himself as a hero.
I mean, it's so fucking...
Because he performed a ceremony.
He did the thing that like he 100% shouldn't have done. It's like, I totally didn't shoot that lady in the head, and
right,
I want all the kudos. Like,
uh-huh.
Get the fuck out of
yeah,
here.
Well, you know what? There was a drunk lady in front of me, and I didn't touch her boobs.
So here's...
Like, well, good.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, you acted like a regular person.
That's what you're supposed to
Congratulations.
Do, Congratulations. What the fuck?
I want to play this, and I want you to pay attention, Tom, to the guy who's interviewing him who never says a word, never says a thing. Just lets Giuliani keep rolling this rope out.
To go to court and try cases myself. So I'm a real trial lawyer, not
make
believe like a lot of these people. I once got a congressman to break down on the witness stand and confess. So I really know what I'm doing, and to be described as what did Pence say? Oh, I don't think he's ever been in a courtroom, and he went to a law school nobody even knows. I mean, that guy, I mean, I thought before this all happened, he was a really good guy, but too weak to be president. I always worried about him following Trump because I would see him with his wife having something around his neck every night and walking around. She doesn't let him go to the, well, she lets him go to the bathroom by himself. That's about it. But imagine that skunk doing what he did today.
He's trying not to laugh.
I mean, he
called him a skunk.
If you can't separate Trump from the First Amendment issue here, then you're just not a good person. This is not about Trump. If this were being done to my worst enemy, I would be fighting the case for them.
So Giuliani, very upset, very mad.
Giuliani seems like he's like, he doesn't seem okay. Does he seem cogent at all?
Can I just say, when they redo all this stuff in the movie,
yeah,
can we get Danny DeVito in there? Can we please? Danny, I know you're a fan of the show. Danny, please.
Danny DeVito, come
please,
on.
Please, Danny, can you do Ruby Juby Booby? Can you please?
Dude, take a break from filming your fucking 6-episode seasons of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Please. And just
and do this.
Oh, so good. So good.
That's fucking great.
I mean, genuinely.
I love watching them turn on each other, too.
Yeah.
Like watching a fucking pack of wild dogs chew each other up.
Well,
delicious.
The thing is Pence has no chance.
No
Pence
chance
has no chance of becoming the president.
No.
Pence has no chance. But I think his stance and what he did, that's going to be the only thing he can hold on to. And so that's going to be the flag he's going to wave the rest of the time. And that puts pressure on all the rest of them to say he did the right thing because they can't say they wouldn't follow the Constitution.
Yeah, this is going to be like
this is crazy.
An insane clown car up until... I am looking forward to the primaries so much. I really am. Because what a fucking bonkers, insane clown car shit show this is.
It's already nuts. I don't know how quickly they drop off, but there was got to be 12 people on the stage last night.
Jesus
and some of those people were genuinely uninteresting. You know they're not going anywhere. They are 100% not going anywhere. But there's a couple of slick people on there I'm afraid of, but Pence is definitely not one of them. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Check out this Thursday. We're going to have a funny release, a funny show coming out this Thursday for you. So check your feeds for that. If you want to become a patron of the show, one of us works for the show now. So if you want to become a patron of the show, we, of course, would love it. If you became a patron, you go to patreon.com/dissonancepod and you can become a patron on a per episode basis. Patrons get everything early. They get an extra show at the end of the month. $2 patrons get a long form article that Tom reads every month. So there's a lot of extra stuff we give you, and we hope you become a patron if you enjoy the content that we put out. That's going to be it for this week. We're going to wrap it up. But we're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.